here on KJN as we talk winter sports here for the Atlantic Trojans. And we'll be talking about it. Atlantic girls basketball here coming up first with head coach Dan Vargason. We'll be joined by Atlantic boys basketball coach Jeff Ebling here a little later in the half hour. And we'll also hear from Atlantic Cam wrestling coach Tim Duff as his squad is competing down at the John J. Harris Wrestling Tournament here this weekend in Corning. We'll get started with the talk about girls basketball after this. This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Hepler Curbside Sanitation in Atlantic offers quality garbage pickup service and a flexible schedule to meet your needs. If you have a large family or business that requires more than once a week pickup, Hepler's will work with you. Call 254-0677. The Fireside Lounge. Meet your friends at a great place for drinks. They offer a friendly atmosphere, large game room, 5 TVs, and open at 11 a.m. That's Fireside Lounge, located on West 7th Street in Atlantic. Dennison Truck and Trailer Repair in Atlantic can handle all your needs, from hydraulic and air brake repairs, engine and transmission repairs, and DOT inspections and more. Dennison Truck and Trailer Repair, 305 Hickory Street in Atlantic. And welcome back in here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show, and we'll start off talking Atlantic girls basketball, being joined by head coach Dan Vargason. Good morning to you, Coach.
Yeah, morning, Chris.
Appreciate you coming in. We've had a decently busy week here that's going to stay busy for you here today because you've got one more game added in. But we'll start off talking a little bit here about how the week has gone. Started off with that Tuesday win over Red Oak on the road, where team played really well, shared the basketball well, and the defensive pressure, again, was really good against the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, we were really happy with that game. We played when we had our first group and first couple of players off the bench. They played really good basketball the whole time. You know, that's something that we've been struggling with, is playing four consistent quarters. And they did what they were supposed to do, and I got some people out in the fourth quarter. Got a little messy, but we got some kids some important reps. So, we're very happy with that. We took care of business early. We went from defense to offense, which is what we've wanted to do all season. We've done that a couple times here as of late, really started to get our press going again, and the girls are just starting to have some fun playing that way.
Yeah, 64-39, the final there. You got 24 from Haley, and then three other players in double figures, so it's what you like to see out there. You also, after the game when we talked to you, mentioned an opportunity not only to get some other players some time, but to kind of see what different scenarios for your team looks like. You never know what foul trouble brings or what types of scenarios you run into down the road. So you wanted to, get different players off the floor and see how everybody works together.
Yeah, it was great that we did that, because Jada Jensen, to start the Harlan game was a little bit rattled. It took some time to get her into the game, and she did recover. But, we had to pull her for a little bit to let her just kind of slow things down. When you're a sophomore point guard, you're still learning every single day. So, everybody does, but your point guard's the one that's got the most to really be learning. And I thought she did a great job. So we got her out against Red Oak, for about 6 minutes, and then got her back in. And then we did the same thing in the second half, pulled Haley Rasmussen. We just got to be prepared for whatever, and we played a couple different defenses. Red Oak left their starters in the whole game, which is nice because our girls that were coming off the bench got to experience, actually playing against a varsity team. Because there's nights where when the other team pulls the starters, you just went back to the JV game. Both teams mm-hmm. have JV players out there. So it was good that we got to get those girls on the floor. They went out and competed, and we got to get them very valuable experience.
Yeah, good win there for you, and we'll moved into Thursday night then. The makeup contest had to be pushed back a week due to the weather there against the Harlan Cyclones, and just kind of a scenario there where you get off to a tough start, and it's tough to fight back the rest of the game, and that's just kind of the way it went.
Exactly, and we've been working on not having slow starts. Last year it was like every game. We came out and we just got smacked in the first quarter and played catch-up, and we were able to win quite a few games still, but it's just a little bit tougher when you're always digging out of a hole, just from a mental aspect. So, our goal has been consistent for four quarters. I thought we did against Red Oak, but you go back to Denison last week, we played three good quarters, and then the fourth we didn't play so well. Against Harlan, we didn't play very good in the first, but then got going in the second, third, and fourth. So we play a game complete. We're going to be in every single game. We lost by 13, number 11 team in 4A, and our first quarter was slow. That's the best way to put it. We just didn't really get after it as hard defensively as I'd liked. And offensively, it took some time to get confidence. And, sometimes if we rely on Haley a little too much, it can take some time to get going when there's a box and one. And that's what we've been preaching to our kids, is everybody else has to score in that situation.
Yeah, and that, you know, and that's a good squad. They've got a lot of players that they filter in to their lineup, and you know, it seems like they've got a number of different girls that could kind of be their leader on any night. They ended up with four players in double figures. Brecken Van Balla was one of the key players through the game, because every time you guys were able to trim it down to about 10 points a number of different occasions, it seems like she was hitting a three on the other side again to turn it back the other direction. So, you know, give them credit, because they're making those plays in those moments, but you know, it stops the tide when you're actually making a little bit of a move.
Absolutely. You know, that's what, you know, really good basketball teams do, and we've played a lot of really good basketball teams. We've played six ranked opponents this season. You know, I'm not a moral victory guy, but it's going to pay off at the end of the season when we get into 3A competition. You know, we've only played a couple 3A games. We're undefeated in 3A, you know, but in 4A and 2A, we've lost some ranked opponents. So we're battle-tested. You know, we're bringing Urbandale in. They're a good basketball team. The record doesn't reflect, you know, what they're capable of doing. So, you know, they're a team that if you don't play, you know, they're going to take it to you. So we have our schedule beefed up a little bit again this year, and, you know, we're going to keep building on that.
Yeah, and, you know, not unusual, I guess, that you play good teams in the Hawkeye 10. That certainly usually is going to happen. But, boy, it seems like this year, you know, with that many teams that have been ranked at different moments, and now you just had Lewis Central jumping back into the rankings too, there's an awful big wealth here this year, it seems like, a good squads.
Yeah, and, you know, it's our bigger schools. You know, our 5As are all ranked, and or 4As, sorry, yeah. We got 4As. But, you know, Lewis Central, Denison, Creston, Glenwood, Harlan,
yeah.
You know, you got five right there, mm-hmm. and then St. Albert's starting to play a little bit. You know, every year they do the same thing. You know, they're playing up. They're a 1A mm-hmm. school playing a bunch of threes and fours. You know, they're not going to win maybe as many games, but they're going to be able to make a run in the postseason like they do every year. And they got us by 1 point right after break. You know, so I know our girls will be ready next time we play them. But mm-hmm. you know, it's been a tough conference. You know, even the teams that are struggling, you know, they've got good players. You know, Kemper, they can go off any night from the three-point line. Yeah. They've got a shot blocker. So it's been fun being able to battle every night, and our girls are going to be battle-tested.
Yeah, and you alluded to it already, but you did get that game on the schedule here just this week. You're searching for somebody else to fill in here, and you get one set here tonight against a Metro team in Urbandale. As you mentioned, you know, records, and especially when you're playing in Central Iowa, maybe don't always reflect how talented you are. And you know, in a big school like that, they're going to have some girls that are decent at basketball, because you've got enough to pick from. So, it'll be a good test for you here tonight, and get to see a different composition of a team like that.
Absolutely. We like seeing different things. You know, we don't want to see the same thing as, you know, then we're ready for whatever gets thrown at us in post. The whole purpose of the season is to get ready for postseason. You know, mm-hmm. it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, really the games that you counter in February, you can go 21-0, go get beat first round, and what good was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to get playing hot at the right time, and playing these types of teams is going to help us to do that. You know, they're a little bit lanky. Urbandale's got some tall girls, very athletic. You know, when you have, like you said, 1,800 students to choose from, you better be able to find five.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have that. They're not shooting the ball overly well yet, but, you know, watching them on film, I don't know how many times I've seen a three go halfway down and pop out, you know, and they're all right there. So if those start falling, they're a dangerous team. It's just taking them a little bit of time to get going. They didn't start playing until January, so that's a big advantage for us. We've been playing a couple months, and they haven't. So we're going to rely on our team chemistry, you know, take care of the ball fundamental and pressure them. CAML doesn't pressure an awful lot. You know, when you have that many athletes, you know, you can't press a Southeast poke. They've got a Division I basketball player that's going to dribble right through you. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different nature. So with our pressure, I'm hoping we can catch them a little bit off guard and, you know, create some turnovers to points.
And that'll be JV varsity here tonight. Be after the boys have a triple header this afternoon here too, from Makeup there against Creston, and then your games will follow about 7:30. Is that correct for the varsity girls tonight?
Yep, 6 for JV, 7:30 varsity.
All right, and I know the restrictions are starting to adjust and change as we move along here, so some more folks getting a chance to get out there in the gym. I know that's nice too, I think, for the players to start to feel like it's a little bit more of a semi-normal atmosphere for them too to play in. It's always, I guess, a little bit tough to deal with mentally, just because, you know, you're used to having that support in that crowd there, and when it's not, it's different, but that's starting to get a little bit better now.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun having a crowd, you know, obviously, even when you're on the road. You know, if you're not getting yelled at and taunted, are you really playing?
Yeah.
So, you know, we like that. We're glad people are coming back, and we're starting to hear people cheering in the crowds. You know, got to give them credit, too. They played in empty gyms and relatively mm-hmm. quiet gyms, and they didn't let them bother them. You know, now fans coming back isn't changing the way we're playing either. You know, they just go out and play basketball. Obviously, you know, we're going to feed off crowd when we get big plays. But this whole season has just been constantly changing. So I got to give our girls a lot of credit for making adjustments and just rolling with the punches. And that's, I think, part of why we've been able to, you know, sustain success and stay around 500 with our schedule.
Well, another great opportunity for you here tonight. And then, of course, we'll get after it for another busy week next week. Coach, we appreciate you stopping by and talking about your team.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
All right. That's Dan Vargas and head girls basketball coach. We'll talk wrestling coming up next here on our Saturday Morning Coaches Show.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic, Anita, Adair, and Casey. Serving the community with quality care and concern during times of need. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic, Anita, Adair, and Audubon. Whatever your sport, whether you're playing, at the game, or just listening, one thing's for certain, you're going to get thirsty. Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Company has been providing refreshments to Southwest Iowa for 100 years. Taste the real thing. Taste Coca-Cola. Alcorn Pharmacy, proud to be a provider of the Freedom Prescription Plan. See them for health touch information and the best personalized books. That's Alcorn Pharmacy.
Welcome back here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show on KJN as we talk Atlantic sports here in the winter season, and now talking with Atlantic Cam head wrestling coach Tim Duff. Coach, thanks for joining us here.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you had an opportunity there on Thursday night to get it back out up there on the mat, a couple of duels there and a couple of tough ones against good Clarinda and Glenwood squads. Your thoughts on how the night came out there Thursday?
Yeah, you know, Thursday, wrestled down in Clarinda, much improved Glenwood and Clarinda squad. Coach Weber doing a great job in Glenwood. Coach Bevan doing a great job in Clarinda. A couple young coaches and their kids are really improving, really wrestling hard, and you can just really see them as up-and-coming teams. Both teams had a number of freshmen in their lineup, their freshmen really are, you can see them getting better each time out. So we give a lot of credit to those coaches and their staff and their improvement, you know, for us. We just kind of came up short in a couple matches, we've got to find a way to finish some of those tough positions, wrestle through those positions. If you stop wrestling, you're going to give up big points. And unfortunately, we kind of gave up big points in some key situations, and it cost us a few matches. So something we've got to work on and just something for us to, you know, find a way to fight through and get a little more mentally tough.
When you get a chance to get your guys right back out there here this weekend, the John J. Harris Wrestling Tournament, we're recording this here as the tournament before it gets started here with the Friday-Saturday format split into the different sections of weight classes. I guess first off, your thoughts on, going through it in that manner with, you know, just some wrestlers wrestling one day and some on the other. How do you think that'll flow, and do you think that'll affect the guys much, or did it just go out there and do what they do?
Yeah, no, for us, it's still just, go out and wrestle. You know, you won't have your full teammates there, but, when you get in those tournament situations, every wrestler's kind of focused on their next match. At least they should be, and you get a chance maybe once in a while to tell a teammate good job when you see him come off. But ultimately, in those tournaments, it's really about the individual being prepared to wrestle who you have your next match and what do you need to go out and do to make sure you're ready to wrestle that next match, and then going out and giving your best effort. And for us, we'll have seven guys wrestle Friday 106 through 145, and then seven guys wrestle on Saturday 152 through 285. And at the end of the day Saturday, they're gonna tally up team scores and see where we are. And so hopefully we'd like to stay in the top five and see if we can compete to be in the top five. I know that's a tall task force. We've got some guys that are really going to have to probably wrestle above you know, what they've accomplished so far this season. But, you know, hopefully they go out and take advantage of the opportunity and compete to the best of their ability.
Well, and you know, in this type of situation, we've talked about this, you know, forever. You get in these tournaments, and you know you're going to face great competition. These are the types of moments that you want to have in the season to try to prepare you for when you want to be your best at the end of the year, because you know you're going to be going up against some good wrestlers each time you step out there.
Yeah, Chris, I think that's the key, and taking it even one step further for us. Big week this week. You know, like I said, we saw Glenwood, Clarinda on Thursday. Those are two teams in our district at the John Harris tournament. We're going to see the other teams. We're going to see, you know, in our 2A district, there's 12 teams, and we're going to see the other 11 teams are all at this tournament besides Glenwood, and we saw them Thursday. So we're going to see 10 teams today. So each individual, when they wrestle those kids that are sectional foes or district foes, they're going to have a really good idea where they stand. Once we walk out of the gym on Saturday night, you're going to know who you're ahead, who you're behind, and what you've got to do to give yourself a chance to advance the districts or advance to the state tournament. And that's the ultimate goal in the sport of wrestling is getting to the state tournament and then trying to wrestle on Saturday. And you know, we've got everything laid out here for us, and hopefully – we approach it with the right mindset.
Yeah, some great competition, great opportunity, and great learning experience, as you mentioned, for all these guys. You mentioned the state wrestling tournament. I guess I'll ask you your thoughts there. Obviously, probably a good thing that they went ahead and decided to keep the tournament as its traditional format. Probably best to stay with what's familiar. I guess your thoughts on how that played out.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably the best format. You know, giving the kids a chance to wrestle those high-level matches and prepare. And I think it brings a lot more excitement to each day. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I know there's going to be a limited number of fans. Hopefully everybody can still see the matches of their favorite wrestler online and still, you know, maybe get an opportunity to get into the stadium one of the days. But, you know, for our kids, you know, right now we're still just focused on getting better. And like I said, we'll come out Saturday night when we get done with the Harris tournament. We're going to know where we stand and what we need to do to get ready for sectionals in 2 weeks. Hawkeye 10 tournament next Saturday. So it's right here at the finale now. And now it's, you know, you're getting close to the postseason. And ultimately you want to be wrestling your best as we finish up the season.
All right, Coach, good luck to you here at the John Harris this weekend. We look forward to catching up with you again next week. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot for all the coverage, Chris.
All right, that's Atlantic Hamhead Wrestling Coach Tim Duff back. And we caught up with Coach Duff there before the tournament started yesterday, so just wanted to give you a quick update on what did happen yesterday for the Atlantic Cam squad. Joe Weaver taking a championship at 126 pounds. Of course, the way the tournament went, as we talked about there with Coach, is they split it up a little bit differently. The lower weight classes were all wrestled up until 145 yesterday, and then they'll go from 152 through heavyweight here today there at the John J. Harris. So Joe Weaver picking up that championship there at 126. He beat Xavier Travato of Missouri Valley in the championship by decision 12-8. So congratulations there to Mr. Weaver. Also, Atlantic had Cruz Weaver picking up a sixth-place finish at the 113-pound weight class as he was able to get in the placing in the top six there. Also, Atlantic had one of the wrestler there end up in the placing there for yesterday, and that was a well, I had it here somewhere. Now I lost it. I know they had another wrestler that ended up doing okay for themselves. It was Jackson Bell. He was third place there at 132 pounds there for the Trojans. So that's a look at the rundown there from the first day of John J. Harris, and they will continue wrestling, of course, those larger weight classes than today. Also, Atlantic Cam did have three individuals competing at the Girls Wrestling Championships. This is a outside-sponsored event, the Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association State Tournament. That started yesterday in Iowa City. They'll finish it here today. Atlantic Cam's three wrestlers all falling in the second round of consolations. Quincy Sorensen, Mia Trotter, and Karina Burkle. Mia Trotter was the only one that did score some points. She picked up a fall in the opening round of her first match there against Carly Williams of Vinton-Shelsburg, but then ended up dropping by fall in the second round of the championship side of the bracket, then lost also in consolation round. She did win actually her second round consolation by fall, but then lost by fall in the third round consolations there, so we're dropping her out there of the tournament as well. So they're all done heading in there to that second day of action. So an update there on wrestling. We'll talk boys basketball next.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Dave's Auto Repair, 500 and a half Walnut in Atlantic. Owner David Kirkhoff is your complete automotive service dealer. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Stop by Dave's Auto Repair or give him a call at 243-3330. Ascendant Wealth Management Group, a division of Ameriprise Financial Advisors. They'll help you with personal and small business financial planning. See Zach Wiggis or Jenny Johnson in Atlantic or Audubon today. The Peterson Insurance Agency in Elkhorn can help you with all of your home, auto, and crop insurance needs with 15 years' experience. They have lots of companies to offer you, such as Danish Mutual and Grinnell Mutual. Give them a call, Peterson Insurance Agency, 712-764-2246.
And welcome back here on our Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on KJN, now talking boys basketball here with Atlantic head coach Jeff Ebling. Jeff, good morning to you.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. We've got a couple of games already in the books here this week and one more coming up here this afternoon for you. Busy week here, and we'll start off talking about how it started. You picked up that win there on the road against Red Oak on Tuesday night, 71-50. A lot of guys getting involved. Skylar Handlos finishes with 24 points to lead the way in that win. I thought that was a pretty good overall effort.
Yeah, it was. I mean, offensively, I thought we, you know, played very, very well. We were very aggressive. We got to the basket almost whenever we wanted to, really, there for a while. You know, we didn't shoot it particularly well from three-point range. I think we were 2 of 18 from three that night, but we shot around, I think, 72 or 73% from the two-point range. So kind of balances out there real quick for us, but I thought we did a tremendous job. I thought everyone that played, I think we, all 10 guys that got on the floor, all at least scored 2 points. So, you know, it was a good team win. It was, you know, what we needed at that point, and, you know, kind of set the tone for hopefully the rest of this week.
Yeah, and it was a game where you had maybe a little bit of tightness there early. It was 13-9 at the end of the first quarter. You got up by 8 by the halftime mark, and I thought that last play, actually, of the half, as I remember it, it was kind of a little bit of a turning point. Dayton was able to drive down the right side, get a bucket right before the half, and then you just carried that over, and the momentum kind of spilled over in the second half.
Yeah, and I will be honest with you, I was very proud of Dayton on that. That was one of the few – we've been working with him about, you know, trying to make sure you're going up strong, really rip and just go. And, you know, he finally put that on display, and he went in there and – you know, it was a nice, easy layup. And, yeah, go from 6 to 8 points, that is a big bucket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, you know, could have knocked the wind out of their Red Oak sails a little bit. And, you know, we felt pretty good. We knew, you know, they were playing good basketball. You know, they beat Kemper the night before. They played St. Albert tough on that Saturday. So we knew, on, you know, we were going to have to be ready to go. And like we always said, it doesn't matter if you win by one or you win by 50. As long as you're ahead, mm-hmm. that's all that matters. So, you know, Red Oak, they're getting better, though. I know in the past they've, you know, kind of struggled here and there, you know, the past couple of years. But a lot of those guys now are starting to see their second and third year of varsity. And we, you could tell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we matched their physicality. You know, they try to, you know, play physical. And mm-hmm. we matched it right back. And we won the Battle of the Glass again. And that's always a big key for us. You know, that's one of our keys every single night is we got to win the, you know, rebounding battle. And we did that. We limited them. We got out. We pushed the ball. And we just really played overall just really well.
And that carried over a little bit for you into Thursday night as well. You had the makeup contest from the prior week moved back to the weather because of the weather there against Harlan. And you've been waiting for, I think, a game to kind of culminate and come together like it did on Thursday night. And the guys played really well.
They did. You know, one thing we told them, you know, you're going to have to match their physicality. You know, they're going to be physical. You know, mm-hmm. they got some big football players out there. And I thought we did that. And The other thing is we knew that Coach Osborne was probably going to throw a bunch of different looks at you. And, you know, I thought we responded to reacting to those really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, the night before in practice, I wouldn't have said it would have worked out that way on Thursday. It just, there was about a 15-minute part of practice on Wednesday. It was just like, oh, man, he's probably starting to put worry in Coach's head there a little bit. But, you know, the guys came out, and you could just tell they were locked in. They knew the game plan. They knew, you know, offense, defensively, what we had to do. And, you know, it helped. Skyler got, you know, started early. Dayton, I think, hit an early three. And, you know, he's kind of got rolling from there a little bit. You know, I think the big part was, and a lot of people kind of, you know, look at me a little bit different when I say this, but we kind of frame stole it there, or he got the outlet at the end of the first half and went up to go try to dunk, and Garrett Reynolds ended up following him, not letting him dunk it. I mean, he made the shot and got the free throw. They took a one-point lead. However, he did not allow him to dunk that ball where he really could have switched the momentum going into halftime. So, you know, things like that, you know, really did help us. Garrett Reynolds played an outstanding game on Thursday night. I think he had 13 points and 10 rebounds, and, you know, he came, and that was off the bench. And, you know, there's been times where Ethan Williams has come off the bench and he's done that, and it's kind of nice, you know, we have two guys that we can rely there in the post. You know, if they're both having good nights, well, look out then, you know, because we could be really, really, really tough at that point. But we're proud of where, you know, we're at so far this week. We still got one, though, that we need to get. And obviously that's where our focus is at. Creston's, you know, I think they're 4-2 in the conference. They're right up near the top, just right behind us and Glenwood. So we need to make sure, you know, we take care of business here this afternoon. And then we can take a day break because, like I said, this has been a long week. It's long for the boys as well. And, you know, tomorrow they can kind of have a mental day and physical day of just kind of healing up, because even next week we got two more conference games. So we always take it one game at a time, and right now Creston's in our sights.
Yeah, and that game Thursday, as you mentioned there, it did kind of swing a little bit back and forth early. It was tied at the end of the first quarter. You guys got up by 8, and then they went on that late 9-0 run to take the one-point lead at halftime, but it didn't faze your guys. It came right back out. You got the first shot of the second half to take the lead back, and then never let go of it the rest of the way. And that's what you like to see, them coming back out attacking.
Exactly. And we, and I kept reiterating this during timeouts, every time we give them one shot and stop, our offense seems to flow so much better. You know, we went a little bit, we went to our little 2-3 zone matchup, and, you know, it seemed to confuse them a little bit. And that's really a big key. And when you give them one shot and they miss, and we get it and we go and we push, is, you know, I thought we could have pushed the ball a little bit harder if I had to be nitpicky about it. But, you know, we were pushing the ball up the floor. We're getting the ball where it needed to be. I thought the shots we took were great shots, even though they might not all went in. They were all good looks. And, you know, Ethan Sturm's three there in the corner, I think about midway through the fourth or 2.5 minutes left, kind of sealed the deal there to, I think, put us up 15. And, you know, after the game, you can see the excitement in the boys' face. You know, like, this is one hurdle, you know, sometimes you got to get over. Because Harlan, they're a respected program. We all know it. I mean, they might be 5-6 this year, but, you know, Coach Osborne and those players, you know, they got a lot of pride, and they're going to make sure they're going to give their best effort. And, you know, we matched that, and we proved ourselves that we're just as good. And, you know, that's always a good feeling, especially with Substates coming out next Friday. You know, usually we're probably in the same substate like every other year. So, you know, it's always nice to have that, you know, mental block gone, and that we can beat that team if we had to.
Yeah. And you mentioned it. Do you want to take care of business here today against a Creston team that you played really well against to open up this season? That was kind of, I'm sure, a good feeling right out of the gate, the way that they played in that first game. Things got a little bit of a lull right after that for you, but they played well the first time against Creston, and you'd like to obviously see them jump out and start fast again like they did the last time.
Yeah, and again, that started with our defense. And, you know, going back to the first game tape, there wasn't a lot of second and third chance opportunities for Creston that night. And we put a lot of pressure on getting to the rim, getting some open looks. I think we were 7-17 from three, I think, that night, and 7-9 from the foul line. And we out-rebounded, you know, pretty good. And, you know, and Creston remembers that. I remember, you know, I talked to their coach, you know, through text message and things like that. And they're getting, you know, Creston kind of used that as a motivation to continue to get, you know, go back to their basics and, you know, focus on the defensive end. And and it's starting to show. I think they're 7-4 now, and you know, they're 4-2 in the conference, so they're getting wins here. They're going to come in. You know, they beat Kemper by 18 last night, which is a really good win. And you know, we're going to have to be ready to roll. Colby Berg is a really good point guard for them. They've got a couple other guys. Evan Bruce is starting to come off the bench shooting the ball a little bit more consistent, and he can be an issue. They have two Striders, one Cole, that we were kind of shocked that I saw he had 20 points, I think, against Shen the other night. You know, and that's something that we haven't seen out of him. So, you know, as a coach, okay, well, what are we going to do here? You know, got to kind of watch out for him. So we just got to continue to, you know, do what we do. The boys have been doing a great job. We had a short, light practice, tried to save some legs yesterday. And today, we'll about 10 o'clock here, we'll go through, shoot around, walk through, and hopefully come out at 4 o'clock and play hard and get the win.
All right, yeah, it's 4 o'clock this afternoon there for the varsity boys game, but it is the triple header, so it'll go freshman, JV, and then varsity. We will have coverage for you here today, the boys game here on the radio and online as well, so if folks can't make it out, they can tune in, but hope that some folks can come out and support the guys here this afternoon, and should be a good one.
That's what we're planning on.
All right. Coach, appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Atlantic Head Boys Basketball Coach Jeff Ebling. We'll wrap up the coach's show in just a moment. This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Recon Dune Funeral Home has proudly served Grizzled in the surrounding area since 1930. Owners Marty and Christy Recon will serve you with compassion and professionalism in your time of need. Recon Dune Funeral Home, 712-778-4315 in Grizzled. J.D. Wyman Service in Grizzled services all makes and models. They also do tire sales. They have aluminum and steel trailers and car and utility trailers for sale too. J.D. Wyman Service in Grizzled is open Monday through Friday and Saturdays by appointment. Give them a call at 712-778-2126. Nishna Hills Golf Course, featuring an 18-hole golf course with a fun and friendly atmosphere. Cart rental, reasonable prices, and no tee time required. Call 243-9931 to check on green fees and membership dues.
And that'll do it for our Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on KJAN. Thanks for joining us.